Hallelujah. Praise God. Inauguration. How you guys like that? I'll tell you what. Somebody was telling me that they broke the record on this inauguration. They said God more times than they ever said before. They said Jesus more times than they've ever said in inauguration. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, can you see? It rained on President... It rained on President Trump when he started. And Brother Franklin Graham come up and said, "That's a blessing, brother. That is a blessing on you." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got some rain here. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Folks, I believe God is going to bless our nation as we continue. Listen, the word, big thing, as we continue to pray, as we continue to ask Him. We all know this. The Word of God says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. And I will do what? I will heal their land. Praise God. Hallelujah. As I drove over the Santa Cruz this morning, it was running. It hardly ever runs. Didn't rain that much. But it's running. Rivers of water shall flow, folks. Hallelujah. When God spoke to this building, He said, "Out of thee, O house of God, shall flow rivers of living water. Out of thee, O house of God, shall flow the people of God, flowing with the rivers of life into your city." Hallelujah. Come on, man. Hallelujah. I'm ready. Amen. Praise God. God's going to touch our city. He's going to touch every house of God in this city. Do you know that? Do you believe that? I believe it's time. How many of you know it's time? It's time for God just to be who you want to be in the earth. Amen? Hallelujah. And use us, Father, for your kingdom, for your glory, for your honor. Lord, hallelujah, because there is none greater. Hallelujah. Woo, I don't know. You guys got me excited here this morning. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, it's the Holy Ghost. He's got me excited. Amen? Hallelujah. Dennis, is it good to get excited? Holy Ghost. Come on, brother. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. You want to see me try to do a backflip? No. Yeah. Yeah. Come on, brother. Praise God. Well, last week we talked about building a temple. Amen. Talked about laying a foundation. You guys remember that? And trying to just move on and get into where we're going to discuss a little bit today about building and building correctly, if you will. How many know it's how many know how many carpenters we have in the house? House builders? How many? I mean, I know there's a couple of them at least, and I'm going to call you out if you don't want to. Hallelujah. You know that it's okay to build, but you want to build correctly, is that okay? And there's a way to build correctly. And we're going to talk about that this morning. God wants us to understand, oh man, that it's not by might. It's not by power. Is that right, Steve? But what's it by? By my spirit. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. Hallelujah. So if we could just relax. Look at your neighbor and say, "Come on, relax. Relax. You're in the house of God. Relax." Hallelujah. Relax. Hallelujah. God is doing the work. God is fighting the battles. Amen. Come on. Relax. You'll be all right. It's going to be good. Hallelujah. We go through things. Is that right? But we only go through those things because to know and understand that God is with us continually. And if you just relax, allow Him to do what He will do for you, you'll find out, I can rest with God that He's going to take care of me. Care who you are, He's going to take care of you. Trust Him. He'll do that. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you will, turn in your Bibles. Hallelujah. It's a Psalm 24. Hallelujah. I was telling the team this morning, I said, man, I've got so much scripture that God dumped into me that I'm not sure what direction I'm going to go. Is that okay? Is that all right? But I know we're going in a direction. Amen? And folks, I'm going to tell you, we're going forward. We're not backing up. You know, God doesn't want us to back up. He wants us to keep pushing forward. Is that right? The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent, what? Take it by force. And we got to forcefully head forward with God. Amen? Come on, man. You can say amen. It's okay. Hallelujah. Come on. Yeah, turn your attention to Psalm chapter 24. And it says this, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." Who's this world belong to? The Lord. "For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands." Everybody say, uh-oh. "A pure heart." Say, uh-oh. "Who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." Ooh. "He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, and that seek thy face, O Jacob," Selah. Hallelujah. Approaching God. How many of you love approaching God? How many of you know that there's a way to approach God? Is that right? I'm going to tell you something. It says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands, a pure heart. How many of you know that the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart of man is desperately wicked. Is that right? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? Who knows the heart? Come on, come on. You can answer. Who knows the heart? God knows your heart. He knows what's going on. Folk, you can hide things from all your friends. You can hide things from your wife. You can hide things from your husband. You can hide things from your children. Children, you can hide things from your mom and dad, grandpa and grandma, but I'm going to tell you something. You cannot hide those things from God. God knows that. Is that right? Is that correct? He knows everything. Don't get sad. He knows your heart. Amen? Praise God. So we know just by these scriptures that no man can do that. Is that correct? There has to be an approachable avenue to God. What's his name? Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Is that right? Jesus. Hallelujah. If you look at if you look at John chapter 14, verse 6, I want to read that to you. Hallelujah. Should know it by heart. John 14, verse 6 says this. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Amen? And then he says, "No man comes to the Father but what? By me." He says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And then he says, "No man comes to the Father but by me." Is he lying to you? He can't lie to you because he is truth. His very essence is God. That's who he is, and he cannot lie to you. And he's telling you there's only one avenue to get to God, and it's through him. Amen? Amen. If you believe that, say amen. Because it's a very important part in our world today. Is that right? Because the world is telling all sorts of folks, you can get there anyway as long as you respect the God. As long as you have feelings of enlightenment toward God, you can make it. Not so. According to Jesus, not according to me. You can look in your word, look at the Bible. It says that he is the only way. Only way. He's the only way. Hallelujah. And folks, the world needs to hear it. that He is the only way. You can't mess with this. Hallelujah. Don't mess around with the way. Is that right? Don't dig holes, potholes on the side of the road. Don't don't take detours. He's the only way that God has provided. Is that right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. No other way. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 28, verses 16 and 17. We were here last week. Isaiah 28, verses 16 and 17. Therefore, the word of God says, verse 16 says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste. Is that right? Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. Had a good time speaking about the foundation last week. You guys remember that? Man, I enjoyed preaching on the foundation. Anytime we look at the foundation in the Old Testament, know this, that God is talking about a foundation that He wants to lay within you, within your heart. Do you know that? Hallelujah. He says that the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I believe, verse 16, it says this. It says, do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? And God dwells where? In you. That temple has to have a foundation. Hallelujah. And we talked about Ezra chapter 1, how Cyrus, the king of Persia, decided that he says, you know, God has told me to build that temple, to go up, to send you guys, send all you, the remnant of the Jewish people, go on up to Jerusalem and build a temple. And one of the first things that they did, they noticed when they got there, was that the temple had been torn down, and they knew it was torn down, but the foundation had been torn apart. Is that right? They noticed that. They said, we got to put a foundation in. And like last week we talked about, they rejoiced and they praised God. And they said, you know, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. And we all had a good time singing that. Amen. Hallelujah. When the foundation was laid, they sang, the Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. Forever. His mercy endures. That's an awesome statement. Oh, this might happen a lot today, folks. I'm not sure. Can you put up Ezra 1 real quick? I'm sorry. Sorry, Abe. I already apologized to him this morning. I said, hey, this could be scattered. It could be crazy. Okay? But folks, I'm going to tell you something. I got to follow what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. And if I don't do that, I'll be on my own. Does that make sense? It's like, he's okay, go do it, man. I said, nah, man, I can't do it on my own. Get over it. He said, well, then listen to me. I said, okay, Ezra chapter 1, you need to look at it. We're going to look at this again. It says, therefore, thus saith the Lord. I'm sorry. It says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah the prophet might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, the king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven and earth has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judea. We'll stop right there. This is the king of Persia. If you go into Isaiah chapter 44, you're going to find something that God is talking. Let's go to this. Start at verse 23. The Bible says this. It says, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord has done it. Done what? Everybody say, done what? Done what? Okay, and then he says this. Shout, you lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing. Go ahead. Break forth into singing. Wait, what are we talking about? What has he done? Amen? Hallelujah. What has he done? Break forth into singing. you mountains, O forest, and every tree therein, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob and has glorified himself in Israel. Redeemed. Had it happened yet? No, the prophet's talking about a future time. He says, rejoice. For the Lord has redeemed Israel. Hallelujah. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Do you know that we are the Israel of God? I'm going to say that to you real quick. You are a Jew because of what happens in your heart with Jesus. That's what the Word of God teaches. You become Jewish. Is that okay? Some folks are, hey, well, you better go, no. I mean, when you accept Christ in your heart, the Word of God tells us that we are a Jew by the things that happened into our hearts. Because Jesus lives there, eh, right? Was Jesus Jewish? Yes. Come on, man. Hallelujah. So the redemption he's talking about right here was not yet, but it was to be, it was coming. Is that right? And he says, rejoice over this redemption that you've got. Rejoice over it. And folks, I'll tell you what, we need to rejoice over what God's done for us. What does a redeemed man look like in the earth? Anybody? Come on, man, I say it a lot. I thought I did anyway. Is anybody, somebody take a note. No, I'm just kidding. What does a redeemed man look like in the earth? You know what a redeemed man looks like in the earth? Jesus Christ. That's what a redeemed person looks like. When you're looking at Jesus, you're looking at an example of a redeemed person. That's why God sent him, not only to die for our sins, but also to show us this is what a person looks like when he's operating the way I designed. Is that okay? Every one of us, every one of you are designed to operate the way Jesus operated. You might say, well, he was a son. Well, he put off being God and he became a man and he entered in the earth because he said, Father, they need to see an example of what it's like. And this is the example that he's given us. He's given us Jesus. So look at Jesus, watch him, because he is what Paul said, oh, that Christ might be formed in you. You are who Jesus is who you are headed to be. Is that okay? You are to look like him in the earth. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that makes all things, that stretches forth the heavens alone and spreads abroad the earth by myself, that frustrate the tokens of the liars. Does God do that? Let me tell you what. You're going to get caught in a lie because God frustrates those things. Is that right? Come on, quit lying. He said, frustrates the tokens of the liars and makes diviners crazy, mad. How many of your Bible says crazy? Anybody? That makes them mad. That turn wise men backwards and make their knowledge foolish. That confirms the word of his servant. Now, I think this is where God was having me to head to. That confirms the word of his servant. Do you know that when God says something through a prophet, God will confirm those things. Do you know that? Do you know that God watches over to his word to perform it? Do you know that? That's what the word of God says. I watch over my word and I will perform those things. Can I tell you? We are headed to where God begins to show his glory in the earth. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. This world can't stop it and the church can't stop it. It's going to happen because he said, I will show my glory in the earth. And it's going to happen. So, folks, we might as well get online. Is that right? Might as well get along with it, man. Come on, Lord. Make it happen in here so that people can see it out there. Yeah. Hallelujah. He says that confirms the word of his servant, that performs the counsel of his messengers, that says to Jerusalem, check this out, thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah you will be built. And I will raise up the decayed places thereof. I love this section because I love looking at cities and saying, God, what can you raise up out of that city that's decayed? I love it. This city is going to raise up out of the dust. You know that? That God's going to bring, that we are the life that God's going to bring into the city, and they're going to be a city set on the hill. I've said that quite a few times, and I believe it, that God is saying, I'm going to show my glory in your city like you've never seen it before. I believe it. Whew. And then he says this, that says to the deep, be dry. I will dry up thy rivers. And then he says, that says of Cyrus. Remember Cyrus? The guy that made the declaration to build him? He says, that says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure. Even saying to Jerusalem, you will be built. Come on, man. Hallelujah. And to the temple, your foundation will be laid. Whew. I'm going to tell you something. God is saying to you, your foundation is going to be laid. Do you know that you have no idea how big the foundation that God has placed within you is? Do you realize that? This foundation that God has, I mean, when you first get saved, you might not know a lot. How many of you say, man, how many of you say, I knew everything about Jesus when I got saved, the first day I got saved? Hallelujah. It didn't happen, did it? What happened was he placed your foot on a rock. Is that right? He put you on a little bitty foundation. And man, if you tried to get off, you felt a little awkward. Is that right? You tried to witness to somebody, you felt like, I just don't know enough. I don't know enough to say anything to anybody. But then you started reading the Word of God. And you started looking at things. You started believing God of what you were looking at. And all of a sudden, your foundation got a little bigger. And the more you read, and the more you studied, and the more God spoke to you, your foundation started expanding and expanding and expanding. Is that right? It's not that the foundation wasn't there. It's just that it was covered. It was just a little spot that you were working in. But now as you're walking and God is speaking to you, your foundation is growing. You're going to find out that we've got a massive foundation in Jesus Christ. Do you know that? Hallelujah. It's a big thing. It's like your cell phone. Like your cell phone. Can you do every function in your cell phone? Everybody, raise up your hand if you know how to do every function in your cell phone. Will you admit that there might be some things you don't know about in that phone? Is that right? Will you admit that? And do you know that you can learn some more things about your cell phone? You know that? You can do something. Hey, man, it does this. Hey, it does this. I can barely dial and text. That's all I do. People tell me, well, you can do this, that, and the other. I say, well, you can, but I can't. Hallelujah. There's so much more in the foundation than what God has given you in your heart than you realize. And it gets uncovered by the things you go through. By the times when you're reading the Word of God and you're looking at God's Word and all of a sudden something appears to you. You say, man, I've never seen this before. I've looked at this 320 times and I've never seen it like this. How many of you ever done that? The Word of God begins to speak to you. And your foundation gets a little bigger and you got a little more to talk about. You got a little more things. You say, Matt, you got a little more understanding because of what God's doing. He said that foundation will be. See, God was using Cyrus to build that town. Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny how God would use a king that doesn't know him, that doesn't claim to be Jewish or, but a heathen king. How's that sound? A heathen. Isn't it funny how God would use a king like Cyrus to build a temple? Isn't it funny how God will use a king like Nebuchadnezzar to rule the world? To rule the world. Isn't it funny? I'm going to tell you, to me it's not funny. Come on, man. Because that position is supposed to be given to the men and women of God. God had told the people, when Moses was, he goes, I will make them a nation above all the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. And they and all the nations will look and say, that is a nation that's ruled by their God, that's watched over by their God, that's protected by their God. That's what that nation was. But no, they turned and they kept turning away. And they let go of the things that God was trying to do for them. And guess what? Nebuchadnezzar all these kings able to arrest them, take them captive. Why? Because they had walked away from their God. They have decided that, you know what? Maybe it's not worth serving a God like this. Or you know what? We're doing pretty good now. I got my house, got my field, got my 10 cows. We're good. Let go of God. Folks, I say, do you know we do it all the time? Come on, man. Folks, we need to get into a place where we're saying, you know what? As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. It does not matter what things are going on around me. I am going to serve the Lord. And I'm going to watch at His gates daily to see what He has for me. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Because yes. He has great things for you. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. You okay, Jonathan? Yeah, okay. Glory to God. God will do what He said He's going to do. The body of Christ is in better condition than she's ever been. Do you know that? Do you know that? Because the time that we're at, God is speaking to the body. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. The time is now. The time is now to go to God and find us. That, Lord, build me strong. Make me strong, Lord. How many say, make me strong? I mean, God, make me strong. Do you know that Psalm 68:28 says this, that the Lord our God has commanded your strength. Do you know that? Psalm 68:28, the Lord our God has commanded our strength. Commanded. That's a pretty strong word, amen? Just as He commanded the light to shine out of darkness, He commands your strength. Oh. I say, Lord, I'm going to get in line for that. Amen? Praise God. But I want to show you, I'm going to talk to you a little bit. The Word of God talked a little bit there in Isaiah 28. It said that God was going to lay righteousness to the plumb line. Is that right? Can you put up Isaiah 28, verse 17, please? Righteousness to the plumb line. Judgment will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. This is kind of a plummet, okay? Some of the guys called me out this morning. That's not a plumb bob. I said, well, it looks like it. From over there, Dennis, does that look like a plumb bob to you? Yeah? Okay. Well, this is a plumb bob this morning, okay? Hallelujah. Couldn't find my... Pastor Dave's got one in his box, I'm sure. Everybody has one. Yeah. And a plumb bob is used in building. How many know that? Is that right? You got to use... not everybody uses these. I don't think I've ever used it when I was trying to build something. Maybe that's why everything looks crooked when I'm done. But what it does, it sets the vertical alignment. Is that okay? It makes sure that everything is straight up and down. That's what you want to use this for. Dennis, have you ever used this? One of the, yeah, okay. Is that correct what I'm saying? Because I've never used one. Yeah, okay. It is for the vertical correctness, okay. One of the things about this line, it has to be supported from on top. Is that correct? It has to be. Absolutely has to be. And then it cannot be touching the ground. Is that right? Let's have it over here. It can't be touching the ground. Why can't it be touching the ground? It could be off, is that right? It could be over here, over here. Folks, sometimes we get our plumb bob is dragging. Is that right? Sometimes it's not right. Folks, what he's showing is that righteousness is in this. Judgment is in the leveling line or the horizontal line. You got to get this. You got to get the up and down line before you can even think about getting the other line. Is that okay? Listen to me. God is holding the top of the line. You remember how the Word of God says that? It says, you are of this world, but you're not a part of it. You are in the world, but you're not part of the world. Is that right? Is that what it says? It says that. You're part. You're here, but you're not part of the world. Jesus even said, you know what? He told Peter, he says, you know what, Peter? Let me wash your feet. Peter goes, you ain't washing my feet. I need to wash your feet. He says, no, no, Peter, calm down. He says, let me wash your feet. And Peter says, hey, then wash all of me. Peter may not have gotten it at the time. Is that right? We kind of get it now because we look at it. But he says, wash me out. And Jesus told him this. You don't, you're already clean. The only thing you need to wash is your feet. Your feet. Why? Because it touches the ground. It touches the world. Is that right? And a lot of times we've got stuff on us that's been touching the ground. And God is saying, you know what? Allow me to pick that up. Get it off the ground so that you can see and you can understand what I'm trying to say to you. Because folks, a lot of times we'll use a lot of filters to figure out what God's trying to do. Where God will say, I'll speak to you personally. I will show you what you need to do. I will speak to you. Hallelujah. He wants to talk to us about righteousness. He wants to make our lives righteous. Is that right? Is that okay? Know this, that unless you're righteous, you can't get to God. Is that right? Everybody go, oh boy, here we go. This is why he sent Jesus. So that Jesus, because we cannot be pure in heart. We cannot be, but Jesus was. Therefore, the Word of God tells us a few things. So if you would, let's turn to John chapter 16, verses 7 through 14. You guys okay? Yeah. Hallelujah. John 16, 7 through 14. I want to talk to you a little bit about righteousness. I want to talk to you about there's only one way to get righteousness, and that's to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. The Word of God tells us that God made him to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what it says. So when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, you are accepting the provision that God has made for you to get to him. Is that okay? To open the door, to allow you to step in to the, into the theater of God so that your voice can be heard. Is that cool? That's what he's done because of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you this, show you this. John 16, verses 7 through 14. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Three things, right? Sin and of righteousness and of judgment. This is Jesus is saying, this is what the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, when he comes, he's going to do. He's going to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. Can I tell you this morning, this is a growth scripture. This is a scripture that you need to start at the beginning and move into it. The next part, move into it. And the third part, move into it. I know you might be saying, what are you talking about? But you'll see in just a second. But when God came to you before you knew him, do you remember? Does anybody remember that? Does anybody remember that? Come on. You were in the world, and you were doing whatever it was that you want. And I'm gonna ask that you put up John. Fifteen through 17. It says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And then verse 17 says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." Do you hear that? Listen, the world can't receive him. Is that right? Is that right? "Whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, And then he says this, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Okay, so we're going to move back over to this where it says, verse 8 in chapter 16, it says, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. Is Jesus contradicting what he said? Does it sound like he's contradicting? One minute he says the world won't receive him. The next minute he says he will reprove the world of sin. Well, how is he going to do that if he said in the verses before that they won't receive him? Do you see what I'm talking about? One minute he's saying the world doesn't receive him because they don't know him. But you know him, he shall be with you and dwell in you. One minute he's saying that. The next minute he's saying the world is going to be reproved of sin. Ooh, come on, man. This is the job of the Holy Spirit. And what he does is he comes upon a person and he hovers over them. Is that okay? He begins to deal with people. He begins to talk to them about things. They begin to remember somebody said something a long time ago about Jesus to them. And then they begin to remember, oh yeah, this other guy said something about that. And then somebody comes up to them and tells them, hey, you know what, Jesus loves you. Yeah. And then, see, all in all of that time, it's the Holy Spirit, even though you didn't recognize it. I'm going to say, do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember the time before you got saved? How all your life seemed like it was moving in a direction, but you didn't know really the direction. But things were changing, and you were hearing things. And then all of a sudden, you felt this need to ask God into your heart. Do you remember? Did it happen that way? Because Jesus says in one place, no man comes to the Father but by me. And then he says in another place, no man comes to me. Except what? Except the Spirit draws him. The drawing of the Spirit is what that verse is talking about, where it says he will reprove the world of sin. He's going to draw you into the kingdom. He's going to begin to pull on you. Amen? Hallelujah. How many like being pulled on by God? Sometimes they don't feel good. Is that right? You know, you're going to say, yeah, pull on me, Lord. You're hurting me, Lord. Come on, man. But you know what? Anytime God is doing something for you, it's good for you. Amen? That was pretty short on amens, but that's okay. All right. Hallelujah. He will reprove the world of sin. I'm going to just talk to you a little bit about grace. Because as he pulls on you, there's something happening to you. Do you know the word of God? Do you know that you are saved by grace? Do you know that? And please write this down. If you got a pen, if you got something to write on, write this down. You are saved by grace. The word of God uses grace, and that word is charis in the Greek, charis. And when you look it up in the Greek, and like I tell folks, you know, some folks will say, well, you're not a Greek scholar, you're not a Hebrew scholar, so you don't know. Did you go to classes? Did you go? I said, no, but Jesus loves in me. Jesus lives in me, and I believe he's a Hebrew scholar. I believe he is a Greek scholar. I believe that he also is a German scholar, a Spanish scholar, whatever language is in the world. The word charis means divine influence upon a life. Do you see where it says, no man comes to the Father but by me? No man comes to me except the Father draw him. The way he draws is by divine influence. We call that grace. It's grace. It's not like I was taught years ago. I was taught that it's unmerited favor. Can I tell you that unmerited favor fits more in the category of mercy than what it does in grace? Mercy is unmerited favor, wouldn't you say? Unmerited favor really fits well in mercy, and sometimes we put it in grace, and sometimes we don't realize when it says you're saved by grace, it's because the Holy Spirit has come after you and has divinely influenced you so that you might make a choice for God. Period. It's cool. That's the way God does things. By His Spirit. Is that right? Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. God draws us by the Spirit of grace. In the Hebrews, it's even called, He's even called the Spirit of grace. Yeah. So then He brings us into, He says, He brings us into the kingdom because it says He will reprove the world of sin. And you say, yes, Lord, I understand that I'm not doing right. I'm sorry, Father. Forgive me. Forgive me for what I've done. Forgive me. God says, I forgive you. And the Holy Spirit then begins to do another work within you. And it's called the work of righteousness. He begins to show you what's right and what's wrong. Righteousness, when you look it up in the Hebrew, in the Greek, it means to be right. Is that okay? Not a lot. It's not hard. It's to be right. You're right. What are you right about? You're right with God. Amen? I'm right with God now. Hallelujah. So righteousness begins to roll into your life. Hallelujah. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse, let me look first. 2 Corinthians 5, we're going to start at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? He's what? A new creation. A new creature. All you creatures, y'all brand new when you believe in Jesus. Is that right? Is that okay? Can I call you a creature? I'm sorry. Shay, I'm sorry, bro. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, new create. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become what? New. How much of your old life does God want you to bring in with you? Not a dime's worth. Amen? He wants it. But how many of you know? Hello? How many of you know that when we get saved, we bring a lot of that stuff with us? Is that right? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. And verse 18 says, and all things are of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? That's what the Word of God says. In Romans, it says, In Romans, it says this, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Is that true? Do all things work together for good to those that love God? Does it? Does it? Does your flat tire mean everything's working good for you? Does it? That's it. Come on. That's right. That's right. Does your house burning, does it work together for good for you? Is that right? Does it? Yeah. Come on, man. Does my wife yelling at me work together for my good? Where are you, babe? Where are you, honey? There you are. Does it work together for my good? She's going to say, you bet it does. Hallelujah. Does it? Is that what it says? Let me ask you this. Do you believe it? How far out of control do you go for a while when something doesn't go right for you? Come on, man. Talking to you. Come on, man. How far out of control do you realize what we read in Thessalonians? It says all things are of God. Do you know that God passes His seal of approval on anything that happens to me? Do you know that? Yes. Can you be confident that He says, yeah, do it. Do you remember Job? Go ahead. Do it. You say, man, I don't know, man. But this is real. It's true. Because we pass from death into life. And in that life is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He comes into us. To build a temple. And in that building, He says, everything that you go through is good for you. It's going to minister to you. It's going to speak to you. Because I am here with you to show you, to lead you, to guide you, to speak to you. In all of those things, do you understand that? That's the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, the ability to bring others to him, the ability to speak to those and say, hey, man, you know what? God loves you, and he's going to take care of you, and he's going to watch over you. That ability that he gives us comes through the Holy Spirit. He needs vessels of honor to speak those things into the earth so that the world around us can be saved. Is that right? Hallelujah. There's a reason why you're saved. There's a reason why you're sitting here tonight, this morning, tonight. It's not that late yet, but I bet you're saying, man, this is taking a long time, Henry. You've almost done. Come on. There's a reason why you're here. Hallelujah. And then he says this, to witness that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed unto us this word of reconciliation. Now then. Everybody say now then. Now then, we are the ambassadors for Christ. Is that right? Who is? We are. Hallelujah. Just picture your car going down the road with these flags up on the front corner, flags in the back corner. Jesus. Amen. You're an ambassador. Amen. Driving around in your on your moped. Come on, man. Now, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And then verse 21 says, He made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Folks, I'll tell you, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you have the righteousness of God within you. Do you hear me? He's in there. Let it show. Let it shine. Amen. It's the righteousness. This is the plumb line. It is righteousness that gets you into the kingdom of God. It gets you into the presence of God. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, sometimes we tell each other, you know, well, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. And sometimes, listen, please listen to me. I'm not trying to hurt you, but I'm trying to help you. Sometimes we say we're covered by the blood of Jesus. Well, I'm just covered by the blood of Jesus. I'm just covered by the blood. But you're making an excuse for what you're doing. Do you hear me? Do you hear what I'm saying? We're making excuses by saying, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. Listen, God is saying, look, you are. You're washed and you're clean. But don't make an excuse for what you're doing that's incorrect. Is that okay? Make sure that what you're doing is righteousness. Walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Talking. Do you hear what I'm saying? The righteousness of God. Hallelujah. This is what he wants to take us to. Romans 8, 10, and 11. Did I read that to you? I did, didn't I? No, I didn't. Romans 8, 10, 11 says this. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Romans 5, I'm going to read this to you. 17 through 21 says this. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. I'm going to read that to you again. If by one man's offense, let's call him Adam. Anybody want to call him Adam? If by one man's offense, Adam, by his offense, death reigned by him, right? Much more, they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall do what? Reign in life. Life. Oh, man. You're going to reign in life. Remember, there was three things. The Holy Spirit comes to reprove of sin and of righteousness. And the Bible says, and of judgment. Is that right? You guys remember that, right? The sin, he gets rid of the sin out of you, begins to talk to you, gets righteousness in your life. And then it says right here that righteousness begins to cause you to reign in life. That part is the judgment part. The judgment that the Holy Spirit comes to bring to you is not spanking you, beating you up when something... The judgment he's talking about is what God is thinking about what's going to happen, what's going to go on, what's going to maintain the earth. It's what we're designed for. Do you know you're designed for judgment? And if I say that to some folks, they're going to think there's kind of a scary thing. They say, "Well, that's kind of mean." No, you're designed for judgment. You are designed to know what God is thinking about whatever's going on. You're designed for it. That's what he's trying to get to us. He says, "I'm trying to get you into righteousness so that I can begin to show you what judgment and how it works." Do you know the Bible says that judgment? That when it comes to judgment, we're going to be the first ones. Is that right? Let me show it to you. Peter, I'll tell you which one in a minute. Verse 17. 1 Peter, yes, thank you. of chapter 4. Sorry. Glory to God. Verse 17 says, "The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God." Do you see that? Scary thought, isn't it? No, it's not. God is trying to bring us to judgment. He's trying to show us how to use judgment in the earth. It has to come to us. Why? Can't get it anywhere else, folks. We are the only ones that can walk in this. Do you understand that? That's why I've had a few phone calls lately, and one of them was from my daughter. Judgment. Do you see? Let me take you right back to John chapter 16. Put that up again. Verse 11, judgment because the prince of this world is judged. You see that? Is it up? It says, judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Look at it. Look at it this way. My daughter called me up the other day and she says, "You know, Daddy," he goes, there's something happening in the house where I work. There is Charlie, who is the guy that she works for, has told me, she goes, he said, "I feel somebody getting into my bed at night." Charlie's an old guy. Over 80, I think. I'm not sure how old he is. He said, "Somebody getting in my bed at night." And she goes, "No, nobody's getting in your bed." He goes, "Really, there is. I can feel them lay down." He goes, "No, there's not." And so my daughter's talking to some of the other girls, and they're talking to her about the lights are going on, lights are coming off, noises around the house. I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Things are happening. One of the girls that spends the night there said she was sleeping on the couch. She had turned off all the lights. She was sleeping on the couch, and then all of a sudden she got this aroma. She smelled this real beautiful smell. And she had been hearing things and seeing things, lights going on, lights coming off, and so she began to smell the smell, and then she got scared. And whatever it was said something to her, "Get up." Hallelujah. And my daughter called me. She goes, "Dad, can you come by? Can you come by?" I said, "Yeah, I'll come by. Praise God. Amen. I'll chase that thing out of there, man. Sheesh. Come on, man. I know. Yeah, a little opportunity hitting, man. Come on, man. Let me chase this thing." But the Holy said, "Stop right there. Tell her she's got that authority." That's what judgment is, folks. because the prince of this world is judged. It's time to get him out. Another guy called me. Another young couple called me up and says, "Hey, man, we're sitting in our we're sitting on the couch, and we heard one of our little one of their infants was in the back room. We heard it cry." So he goes, "We just kind of both looked back there, and the door is wide open." And he goes, he calls me up. He goes, "You know," he goes, "Pastor Henry, I looked at that door and I asked my wife, 'Did you open it?' She goes, 'I didn't know. You must have.' He goes, 'I didn't. It was closed.'" And then he says, "I got this real weird feeling." How do you know what I'm talking about? "You got this weird feeling." And I said, "You go back and check on the kids?" "Yeah." He goes, "Yeah, they were there. But I thought I'd better call you." He says, "Can you come by and pray for my house?" "Sure." The Lord says, "You tell him what to do." So I told him, "Look, man, this is what you do. You talk to it like it is a pooch." Is that right? Come on, folks. It's not hard. It is not hard. You talk to it like it's a pooch. You talk to it like it's a dog. Say, "Look, you can't sit there. Get out. Piece of cake." Is that right? "In the name of Jesus, you get out of my house. You can't stay here." We don't have to make it difficult. Can I tell you, the enemy wants you to think it's difficult? But you, I mean, you know, it's as easy as, "You know what, in the name of Jesus, you are not allowed in this house. Get out." Because the prince of this world is judged. And it'll when it comes from your lips. So I told him, "Hey, say this. Talk to it like a dog. Say, 'Hey, in the name of Jesus, get out of my house and never come back.'" And I said, "And when you get done with that, say this: 'Holy Spirit, I invite you into my house. Come into my home. Watch over us. Take care of us, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.'" Can you say that?" He goes, "Yeah, hold on. I'm going to put my phone down." Puts his phone down and I can hear him screaming. "Get out of my house. Hallelujah. Get out. Don't come back. Holy Spirit, come into my house. Watch over us. Watch over my children." Gets back on the phone. He says, "Man, I got them goosebumps again, but these are good ones." Hallelujah. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Folks, do you see that judgment? Judgment is what it comes when you are in close contact with the Holy Spirit. When that righteousness is flowing through you. And all of a sudden, God says, "Hey, you know what? Go over here and speak to that guy. Go over there. They need something over there." And God begins to do what he's trying to do in the earth. Folks, it's not a hard thing. The enemy wants us to think it's hard, and I don't even care what he thinks. It is a call to the church to rise up. It is a call to walk in righteousness and allow the Holy Spirit to show you, lead you, and guide you into all these things. Isn't it crazy? It's a good thing. What I'm going to do, I want to pray for you this morning. And I want to ask God that the righteousness that's been already dwelling in you, that it begin to flow and overflow to the point to where judgment begins to be a second, "Oh man, I think I heard God say something in this." Because some of you are flowing in this thing really well. Some of you get up and say, "Man, I've got to go to Nogales. I've got to go down and preach to my cousins. Some of you are saying, you're getting up and you're saying, you're hearing it and you're going, this thing is already working." But some of us are saying, "Man, I'm not sure if I hear God." How many of you say, "Sometimes I'm not sure if I hear God"? You know what? Know this. I'm going to pray for you this morning. I believe that God's going to begin to speak to you in a more clarity than you've ever had. Because the judgment says that the prince of this world is judged, and we have the ability to push him out. We have the ability to remove him. Because of the authority that's been given to us by Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Is it something that you believe? Is it something you can get a hold of? Absolutely. So if you would, stand. Hallelujah. And I'm going to ask you that if you would just stand when you're standing. And when I begin to pray, you don't have to. I'm not going to make you. Hallelujah. But sometimes it's good to have your vessel look kind of like a cup. Here's my cup. Here's my cup, Lord. You guys remember that? "I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirst of me." Here's my cup, Lord. You can raise your hands and say, "Lord, fill me with those things that you have for me. And I'm going to pray this. I'm going to ask you, you don't have to do it, but if you do, if you want God to fill your cup, begin to hold your hands up and say, Lord, fill my cup. Lord, I'm asking you that you would fill each and every person here that's got their hands raised, Father God, that you would, Lord, fill their cup, Lord. Lord, let that righteousness that you've already placed with them begin to overflow. And let judgment, Lord, let the judgment that you are saying, the words you're speaking, the directions you're giving, the plans you're speaking to, Lord. Lord, your desires, your ways, Father God, become the rolling into their spirit, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And for, Lord, those that might not have their hands up, fill them. Fill them, Lord. Fill them with your spirit, Lord, in the name of Jesus. If you agree, say amen. Hallelujah.